papers. Do you have anyone need papers today? Anyone in here? Just lift up your hand if you don't have one, and we'll give you the next one. Oh, Trinity over here. She needs some. Okay. Tonight, it's a little, that's a really pretty name. Trinity, I love that name. Is that like Trinity with a D, or is it Trinity with a T, like Trinity? D? Okay. May I use one of these chairs? All right. I'm just going to put some things over here, too. All right. Tonight, we have a message that has a little different twist to it. And I know every message is always a little different. Tonight, this lesson has a bit of a scientific twist to it, because I did some research, and I've been studying a book by the name of the book is called The Gift in You by Dr. Caroline Leaf, and was such an interesting book that it fascinated me. And as I was getting into it, I realized how much of it could be useful for the School of Ministry. So what we're going to do is we're going to highlight some points in the book tonight, and then also in about 4 weeks at the end of March, at the end of February. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. At the end of February, the last 2 weeks of February and the first 2 weeks of March, we are going to show the DVDs on the book called The Gift in You, and she will be teaching it. And it's extremely interesting. And there is a test that you take, too, to determine the way your brain waves move. I mean, this is just fascinating, you guys. I mean, it's all, you know, this is all scientific. The way your brain waves move, and it moves according to the gift in you. And so it's just fascinating. So you don't want to miss that because, man, this is going to be good. But I'm going to give you a little snapshot of what she talks about in some of the book tonight so that you can realize how factual this is, not only scientifically, but biblically, and how it all coincides. It's fascinating. Okay, so let's start in prayer, and let's begin to just believe God for his miracle-working power tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that tonight is a night of destiny. We do know that there's more to this truth, Lord, that we need to develop about how the gifts work by love, and how even in the body you've really homed in on this, and you have it wired in our human body the way this all works together. And so we pray tonight that through this revelation that each person would leave with the knowledge of you, and each person would leave changed, and each person would leave knowing that you are with them, and that there would be nothing blocking them from becoming everything that they can be. And we pray for that, Father, by the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit would move in our midst tonight and grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now in Lesson 7, the title of it is Your Gift Works by Love. And according to the scripture, and you don't need to look there, but if you want to when you get home, according to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, God says that we have the ability to choose life and death. He says, so therefore choose life. We have been given the power to choose. Isn't that neat? So when people get frustrated because they feel like they're out of control, you can assure them of these truths that God says, no, you have the power to choose. You have the fruit of the Holy Spirit within you, which is the gift of self-control. If you are born again, you have that. That's a fruit within you. And that should be freeing to us because sometimes, you know, even in our daily life, we may feel like we're out of control, or we don't have any control of our thoughts or our emotions or just in general life. And the Holy Spirit reassures me time and time again, no, I have given you this word in Deuteronomy 30:19. It says, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. It says, therefore, choose life. So God gave us the ability to choose. Now, scientifically, this is what I'd like to get into here, even right off the bat. If you want to turn to the book of Revelation, and we'll look here, because this is interesting. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, I believe that this will kind of set the stage for understanding this message this evening. Remember a little while ago we talked about how on the high priest's outfit there were bells and pomegranates. Do you remember that? Remember that? Bells and pomegranates. And the bells represented the gifts, and the pomegranates represented the fruit. Do you remember? Okay, well, this is literally what this whole teaching is about. This whole teaching is this amplified idea in a scientific way, okay? Through medical studies, these things have been proven. This is a scientific proof that that the gifts have to work in conjunction with love, or they don't work. So I'll bear this out in a little while scientifically so you can see the facts. But let's first of all read Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. This is so cool. I get excited about stuff like this, so hope you don't mind if I just jump around a little bit, you know, because sometimes the word, it's revelation to me, and it gets so cool, and it explodes on the inside of me because I get so excited. So that's okay. Just I'll calm down in a minute, okay? But if I get excited and start jumping around, just tolerate me, okay? So Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, it says, "Now in the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." Now tonight, we're going to talk about these literal trees that grow in your brain. They've scientifically studied it, and you can even see pictures of it if you take a look at it. And she's going to show this, and later on when we have the DVD series, you'll see it. There are two different trees that can grow in your brain. One is the tree of life. It looks like it's just beautiful. It's just kind of like, it looks like spaghetti and meatballs, if you really know the facts. I mean, when I looked at the picture, it's just like, wow, my brain looks like a bunch of meatballs and spaghetti. And, you know, it's the way that the nerve endings and the way that all the things look in the brain when they took a picture of it, all the nerves, they look really cool because there's spaghetti and then there's big clumps. And when it comes to the big clumps, that's where a memory is. And if it looks like a meatball, it's a good memory. But if it's black, if it's dark, and kind of has tentacles on it, it's a bad memory. I mean, this is fascinating to me. It looks really black and dark if it's a bad memory. And so literally in your brain, there are two kinds of trees that are growing. Either it can be the tree of life, or it can be a tree of fear. And one or the other are growing in your brain. They're connected, the nerves, the way they're all in there, okay? And usually there's a little bit of both. Some, when you get to be regenerated and when your mind gets renewed and when you start to change your thinking and you grow more sanctified, you get more spaghetti and meatballs. I mean, this is just the funny facts. But when your brain is not regenerated and you're living for the devil and there's lots and lots of fear, it can literally look all black because there's like tentacles that look, it looks like a tree that doesn't have any leaves on it, just like this, you know? Okay, I'm being funny here, but that's what it looks like. It looks like a tree, you know, with no leaves on it. Now, obviously, there's the tree of life here. The Bible talks about this tree of life, and that's what we want to really lock in with, is the tree of life. And I don't want you to miss this because this is the scientific part now that I'm going to explain. There is a frontal lobe in the front of your brain, okay? And it's got a very fancy name to it, all right? And I'm going to say it. You can write it down if you want to. It's not that important that you know what the name is, but it's called prefrontal cortex. That's a scientific name. I bet you didn't know you're going to have a science class here tonight, okay? Prefrontal cortex, but it's really called the frontal lobe in the brain. And it's capable of a number of functions, it says in number 2, one of which is to allow you to choose what you think. It really does. It allows you to choose what you think. That's its function. And everybody has it in the brain. It's in there. Okay, it is in the brain's frontal lobe that gives a person the ability to walk in self-control. It's called a fruit of the Spirit. Now, some may have a bigger one than another. I don't know. No, but they actually did look at Einstein's brain, and they found out that in the area of his brain, it was really developed in the mathematical part of the brain. And it was enlarged. It was just, there was a lot of nerve endings there. It had developed quite a bit. So, and it was just interesting. So Einstein actually donated his brain to science, which makes sense, so people could study it. Now, let's move on here, okay? Let me get into some of this tied in spiritually, because God calls us daily to make use of this gift of choice. And some of us don't use this as well as we could, because we don't have the ability to, usually we kind of get led by our emotions and we just kind of spout out things or, you know, whatever. But if we would stop and really choose life, we have that ability to actually step outside of ourselves. And this is what this frontal lobe does. It actually causes us to stop and think about what we're thinking about. Does that make sense? Okay. So it'll cause us to stop and think. Now, what are you thinking about, and why are you thinking that? Okay, it's the ability to discern. And it's interesting because number three says, the ability to think about what you are thinking about is necessary to make good decisions. God calls us daily to make use of this gift of choice, and so we need to use this frequently. Now, literally, we have an amazing brain. Every one of us, our gift actually is tied in with our brain, because we have the mind of Christ. Now, if you take out your brain, none of us would have any ability to sing or any ability to walk in our gift. And so when we say we have the mind of Christ, we literally need to believe that we have the mind of Christ. That's true, because of how important the brain is in the operations of everything that we do and every gift that we have and everything we say and how we operate in life. It's all tied in. So you have gifts, and nobody can block those gifts inside of you. Nobody can, except for you. Now, that's a freeing thought. Do you remember when John Bevere used to teach that? He used to say, nobody can block your gifts. Remember? Nobody can stand. When God has an anointing on your life, there's no person that can stop that gift from flowing in your life. Nobody. Except for these things that I'm going to talk about tonight. They're called gift blockers. And gift blockers are actually what you do to yourself. And I'll explain that in a little while. They're called toxic thoughts. All right? Toxic thoughts. Now, I'm going to explain it here. In number four, it says, toxic thoughts affect the clarity of your thought life. Toxic thoughts do. And you will see it even in scientific studies. They look at the brain, and it's a big black hunk. And it looks, it's a bad memory. And it's a toxic area of your body. Okay? Now, I'm going to explain this even more scientifically so you can get this. In the frontal lobe, it's capable of an impressive amount of things. It can do all kinds of things. Not only help you to think about what you're thinking about, but many other things it does. But most specifically, it manages all the activities of the other parts of the brain. So when all of your gifts are in operation, everything goes back and forth from the frontal lobe to the gift that's in your brain. The frontal lobe is actually the pivotal part, and it controls everything. Now, this is fascinating. Your ability to choose all the different skills, your ability to prepare, making decisions, et cetera, all happen right here. Put your hand on your brain right here. Say, this is important. I need to preserve this, okay? Because it brings a lot of help to you, all right? Now, when you have toxic thoughts that flow throughout your brain, you know what happens? This is interesting. Have you ever felt like you have a terrible headache? And it just feels like your head is pounding. It's vibrating, you know, literally. What is happening when that is happening is there's an increase of the level of this thing. Now, number five, you can write this down. It's called glutamate, and it's spelled G-L-U-T-A-M-A-T-E. M-A-T-E, glutamate. And it releases this toxic chemical, which is like a fluid, into your brain. And it's good at proper levels. It's vital to building memories. It's very important because it builds good memories. But if wrong levels of this go into your brain, and there's all kinds of negative thoughts that are released in your brain, you've got bad thoughts, bad memories, negative things, it actually turns on you and it becomes like an acid that brings damage into your brain. All right? This is all scientific. You can't get around this. This is proof. They've studied the brain long enough now that they can find these facts out. And interestingly enough, have you ever said, oh, I got to take a pill because, you take ibuprofen and that brings down the inflammation? Well, that's what's happening. All this acid is being released into your brain and it's causing inflammation in your brain. And if that inflammation goes on too long, it actually can result in things like depression or anxiety or learning problems or even some physical health issues. So this is interesting because the good news is this. We can choose love. That's the tree of life. We have the authority in God to choose love. And love, when that's released into our body, literally it brings beautiful chemicals that are released out of your brain into your whole body, starting in your mind, and these things are released. Endorphins are released. Other chemicals are released that bring healing into your body. Now, your gift operates best in a loving environment, a peaceful environment where there's love. And that's number 8 if you want to write that down. It operates best in a loving environment. But I've noticed that if we choose, though, and if we choose to think this, it's in our mind here. If we choose to think that this world is filled with so much fear, we live in a dark world filled with fear, you know, and we have that kind of a cynical attitude, we are actually killing our own brain. We're defeating ourselves by choosing to relish that toxic thought or think on it. Why do you think the Bible says in Philippians, think on things that are good and pure and lovely and of good report? I mean, let's turn there. That's right. Philippians 4, let's turn there because that's right in line with the Holy Spirit speaking. This is what he says to do in Philippians chapter 4. Says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious, here it is, because that is what causes this problem in our brain. It's called fear and stress and worry. That's why God says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And then here we go. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, notice this, what God says, if anything is praiseworthy, that means worthy of saying a hallelujah, God. If anything is praiseworthy, think about these things. So God gives us the word of the Lord here. He tells us how we can preserve our mind, which actually scientifically will affect every area of our body. So once these things go on in our brain and all these toxic thoughts are going on, it eventually will creep into our body and affect almost every area of our physical body. In fact, the fact is that 85 to 97% of all physical illnesses or mental illnesses are caused by these toxic thoughts. Man, isn't that interesting? You see? There's more to this than we know. Why did God say that in Philippians? To think about the good things. Because we can actually kill ourselves by what we do and what we meditate on. Wow. So the soil of our heart, in the soil of our heart, it needs to be concentrated. In number 10, it says, on love, both giving it out and receiving it. That is the main thing. We've got to operate. We've got to see a world that's filled with opportunity, not a world that's filled with fear and ugliness. We need to see a world that's filled with opportunity, that's filled with good things, that there's precious good things that God has prepared for those that love him. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. Number 9, if we choose to believe in a dark world filled with fear, your brain and body will become toxic and sick. Okay, so if you choose to believe in a dark world that's filled with fear, eventually it will cause your whole body to be filled with sickness or toxicity. You know, Jesus said it like this. He said, if your eye is single, your whole body will be filled with light. Isn't that interesting? If your eye is single. So what is he saying there? He's saying it's what you focus on. Whatever you're focusing on is what is going to fill your whole body. Now, that isn't just something spiritual. That's actually something now scientifically they found to be fact. Because of all the evil things that can be released, evil chemicals into the body that cause the body to get decrepit and sick and inflamed, etc., etc. And when I realized how important this was to our lives, I realized, my goodness, I'm defeating myself by sitting there thinking about things and thinking about things and worrying about things and thinking about things and worrying about things. You defeat yourself. You need to cast every single bit of that care over to God because he cares for us. He knows our frame. In fact, I want you to pay attention not only to the seeds that are being planted in your mind all the time, because that's what that frontal lobe can do. You go, wait a second, this is a bad seed that's planted in my mind. I mean, people that sit in front of that television set, I feel sorry for you. I avoid it like the plague. You know why? Almost all of it is bad news or filled with lust or worry or fear or something like that. I mean, there's a whole lot of other good things that you can do besides sitting in front of the TV and going like this all the time. I mean, when you sit down and you think about there's playing games, there's calling people, there's writing letters, there's talking to others. I mean, there's, you know, making phone calls. There's, you know, you can journal. I mean, there's a whole lot of other things you can do. And for the good programs that might be good, why don't you tape those and just watch those and that's it. You see what I mean? Instead of sitting there in front of you, your mind then becomes like this, just, whoa. And you have to go through, and literally the brain has to go through this with the frontal lobe. It's always at work discerning, is this good, is this bad, is this good, is this bad, is this good, is this bad. And that's a good thing to do because it's discerning. It's deciding whether or not you want to receive that information or not for yourself. And that's a healthy thing to be able to have. All right? And so that's why when you do watch something that's kind of cornball and it gets into this bad thing, you know, then you can say, well, that's weird, you know, and you can discern. But pay attention to those seeds that are being planted in your mind because they need to be providing nourishment for your soul and freedom from fear. You know, you don't want fear to be in your heart. You just don't want any form of it to be there in your heart. The mind is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful mind that you have. And when God sets it up to think properly and to release these beautiful chemicals that go in your mind, serotonin makes you feel good, you know, and all these beautiful things that God has designed. But when there's so many of these big black fear trees that are in your brain, it blocks the gift of God that's trying to be released inside of you. And I'm going to explain that in just a few minutes, okay? It blocks it. So let's look at number 11. It says in 1 John 4:18, let's turn there and read that in 1 John 4:18. I love this scripture because this is kind of really the whole backdrop of what we're talking about, how the gift of God inside of you works by love. It says, there's no fear in love. 1 John 4, verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Okay? So, perfect love casts out fear. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. This is a scientific fact. It's going to blow your mind. You're going to go, whoa. You ready? Everybody say, whoa. All right, here you go. Maybe you want to say it afterwards. But when you reach out and you operate in love, there is a chemical, and I'm going to spell it for you. It's called oxytocin, something like that. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but I know how to spell it here. It's oxytocin. It actually flows over the bad memories, and they've scientifically looked at this. Those big black spots that are in their brain right by the spaghetti and meatballs. Okay? There's this chemical called oxytocin or tocin, and it flows over those black bunches that are in your brain, and it dissolves those bad memories when there is love operating. They've scientifically proven this. You can give someone a big hug, and you hold on to someone and hold them tight, and they watch as that oxytocin is released into the brain, and it begins to dissolve those bad memories. Whoa. I mean, that's so cool. Perfect love casts out fear. That's all biblical. Okay? Because those bad memories are those fear trees that are in the brain. Now, this is done through a woman, Dr. Caroline Leaf, who has studied the brain for over 25 years. She's been a doctor over 25 years and has researched all this stuff. Okay? Now, number 12, toxic thoughts are actually a gift blocker. They're a gift blocker. Toxic thoughts. So you may have a gift of, you're a gift of maybe, and in the book they talk about interpersonal gifts, musical gifts. They have gifts of mathematics, logical, all these different things that you'll be able to take a test on later. It's really fun. And you'll find out what your gift mix is in your brain and how everything flows out of that. Your whole frame is formed, and it's all through this process, and it works by love, okay? And it's interesting because so many people have so many labels on them. It's so sad when you give people all kinds of labels, either personality labels or school labels. You know, how many kids have gone to school, and they've gone to school, and sadly enough, they've been labeled, you know, with some kind of problem, learning disability or, you know, ADHD or whatever, you know, all these things that they're labeled. And then they don't realize that most of this probably is because of these fear trees that are in the brain, and they've never had the oxytocin flowing over these bad memories to dissolve that, because there's not been love. Because it's interesting, many different types of the learning people operate better independently, and so some people should not be in school as opposed to maybe homeschooled. It's interesting. It's just interesting how so many people work better in different environments, and it's not the same for everybody. Everybody is a different individual. Everybody's a different person, and you've got to find out how God wired you and then flow with it. So I love it because when Laurel did the test the other day, she took the test, and her first way the brainwave moves for her is in the area, it starts in the frontal lobe, and then it goes back to the musical part. And the musical part operates in much intuition. And so she's very intuitive. And it gives a list of how this operates, and then it goes back and forth from one area of the brain to the next, because there's all different kinds of giftings. And if you have different kinds of gifts, like visual spatial, they call that, when you see things like in the areas of pictures a lot, pictures, and that's how you think, that's the way you need to learn, and because that's the way you work best. So, I mean, this is fascinating because all of our gifts are tied in with the way God made our brain, and he set up our brain. And we've got to understand and respect that. For instance, if you're coming out of some alcohol addiction, it's not recommended that you mix with people that are drinking alcohol or frequent places where you used to drink. Why? Because you do the risk of planting those old thoughts back into that fear soil that you're trying to get free from. Okay? So it's so very important that we take this seriously, and that's why we want, you know, leaders who are life group leaders to be free from that kind of thing in their home of drinking alcohol. Because what if you get somebody who's in your life group who's a former alcoholic, and they're just getting set free from that? All of a sudden that memory starts to just plug right back in, and they go right back into that lifestyle. You see what I'm saying? And so it's so valuable that we understand this is the way the brain is made up. It kicks into that kind of thinking. Bad memories are formed, and it does, I want to give you some hope here, it does give hope, because proven scientifically, it takes anywhere between 4 to 21 days where you can get rid of a bad memory and replace it with a good one. Wow. With perfect love. That to me just, woo, that turns my crank, hey? I mean, when you talk about walking in love, you see, remember the bells and the pomegranates, they work together, and they've got to flow together to be actively powerful. So in Proverbs 3, and I think about this because on Friday night, I was reading Proverbs 3, and I read it over and over again, and I thought about when we were having our prayer night, one of the things that was said that night through, it was through Glenn Raven. Brother Glenn Raven said, he said, trust in the Lord, as he was preaching. He said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not upon your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and God will direct your path. He will direct your path. And so here in 2 Corinthians, notice you're not to lean upon your own understanding, right? But in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And then here's another whammy here in 2 Corinthians 10, if you want to turn there. This is where I love this, because I'm talking to you tonight about this frontal lobe, the power of the frontal lobe. Some of you that came in a little bit later may not know what I'm talking about, but some of you that were doing the dishes, the frontal lobe is a part of your brain in the front where it actually enables you to make decisions and to think about what you're thinking about. So you could almost like step outside of your body and think about what you're thinking about. All right? It's a very important ability because it gives you the ability to cast down vain imaginations. And that's what God says here to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here it is. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Who does the taking captive? We do. Well, how can we do that? Because God set that up in the brain. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, especially moving in us with the spirit of self-control, you got to know that that is amplified 100 degrees. Then if that is built into your brain naturally for your ability to step out and make and think about what you're thinking about, can you imagine how much more powerful that is to have self-control if you have the Holy Spirit living in you? That's powerful. So you have the ability to control what you're thinking. Ooh, isn't that good news? So when you hear people say, I'm out of control, I feel like I can't control myself, you can say, no, even in your brain, you have that built in there. Now, with the power of the Holy Spirit, it's amplified 100 degrees that you can control what goes into your mind, and you don't have to think about those things and meditate on them. All right? So toxic words and emotions can be changed And they've scientifically proven this in 21 days with all that oxytocin that's released to dissolve all those bad memories. You can get that. You can get all that stuff released in your brain, and over 21 days, it'll dissolve and make that black thing that's sitting with the spaghetti and meatballs gone. That's truth, and because they've scientifically proven it now. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. There you go. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And your heart is actually, it's actually like soil. It's actually like soil. And then Jesus even likened that. He said, the soil of your heart, prepare the soil of your heart and take out the fear. All right. It starts though with a thought. A thought will come into your mind, and pretty soon if it's meditated on, it'll start to affect your heart. And it'll start to get deeper and deeper in your heart and make you feel bad. And then it'll start to affect your emotions. But it does start with a thought. It starts in the thought life, and then it moves deeper into the emotions. And then it can even affect the body. That's how it goes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, 13 is... According to Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, and 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, you can control toxic thoughts with the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You can control toxic thoughts. Thank you. You can. Now, number 16, worry can become depression. When you're thinking about something too much over and over again, it can become depression and addiction. And now keep in mind, every person is different. Every person is an individual. And no two people have this exactly the same in everyone. But I will say this, that this wrestling that some of us go through over and over again, some of that is very natural because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But what are those principalities and powers speaking to you? Lies. Amen? They're speaking lies. And they plant a thought into your mind. And then if you meditate in it over and over and over again, it starts to get lodged in your heart. And that's when it gets lodged in your heart, it starts to can affect your body, your whole body. And that's how these chemicals are all released. It starts in the brain. So I'm going to give you some examples of how we wrestle with this kind of stuff so you can relate. Maybe you can go, oh, man, thank you. I'm not the only one that wrestles with these thoughts. But these are the kinds of toxic thoughts that happen. How about this? I can't do this. Have you ever said that? I can't do this. I can't. I can't. And you just keep saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. Or I'm so stressed. I'm so stressed. And you say it over and over and over again. I'm so stressed. I'm so stressed. We've got to remember that toxic thoughts are what I call one of the gift blockers. There's others that I'm going to list pretty soon, but that's one of the gift blockers, toxic thoughts. And they actually come in all kinds of ways like this. I can't cope. I can't cope. I will never, this will never work out. I hate school. I hate learning. I don't have the energy to cope. Nothing goes right for me. I don't like myself. I'm not good at anything. I'm at the end of my rope. All of these are toxic thoughts, and when they're left unchecked to really be rehearsed over and over for days and months and years, they become literally a stronghold. And I'm talking about physically manifesting in your body as a stronghold because all of these chemicals are released to destroy your body. I mean, when I saw that, I said, whoa, we got to do something. You know, we've got to see, we got to check ourselves because in relationship to teamwork, I mean, you can see how important the power of self-control is. Because if you're working in a team, and this all ties in with team ministry, because if you're working in a team, and I wrote down some funny examples, but maybe they're not so funny. I mean, Have you ever been working in a team and it seems like everybody seems to be doing better than you, and so you're comparing yourself to somebody else? The Bible says never compare yourself to anybody else because you won't be wise. He said, don't compare yourself. Just always do the best that you can as an individual. But what happens is that sometimes we compare ourselves to other people and we say, oh, I'm not farther along, or I'm a loser, I'm defeated, I'm not as far along as they are. I wish I was. And so you start to meditate on all these things that you're doing wrong, and it literally becomes then a black thing in your brain. It's like a terrible big clump of black stuff that causes the gift in you to be blocked. It can't come out because it's trying to go over the brain. The gift actually, if you see how it works, it goes back and forth from the frontal lobe to the back, to the front, to the back, but it has to go through these gift blockers, these toxic things, and it's much more difficult to do it. And that's the reason why sometimes you say, oh, my brain is so foggy, or I can't think. Have you ever been there? Okay, I can't think. My brain's foggy. You clam up or something like that. It's because there's this blockage that's in your brain. But the good hope is this. God says, love casts out that fear. Love dissolves the toxic thoughts. All right? And so I'll give you an example, another example in teamwork. Sometimes, and this was my own testimony, I didn't know how to separate my who from my do. Do you know what I mean by that? I didn't know how to separate who I was with what I did. And so years and years when I was a young girl, everybody told me, oh, you're a good singer, or you can sing good, or you sing good, or whatever. So I started to sing good, and I didn't really have my identity developed and who I was in Christ. I didn't know that I was an independent being from what I did. And so if somebody wouldn't recognize my gift, or if I did bad in my gift, or if I flunked, I remember singing up in the front of the church, and one day I was probably 12 years old, and I was singing, and it was like I felt so insecure, so bad. And I remember one of the people that I loved dearly came to me afterwards and said, your voice is okay. It's on key, but, you know, which is good. You got to be on key to sing in front of people. It's on key, but it's just kind of small. And so I didn't feel like I had a very good voice. So I was always kind of insecure about my voice. Well, okay, there you go. Not only was I insecure as a person of who I was, but now I was insecure about the gift. So it was bad news for me. And then when I began to work, you know, and do things in front of people, I'd always be scared. And so I'd start to sing and I'd tremble. And although I had the gift inside of me, I start to tremble in fear. And I couldn't use the gift very well. And then, to boot, if anybody would say anything to try to correct me or help me with the gift that I had, like, well, maybe if you took some lessons, you know, you would improve that ability to be able to have the volume or be on tune or be in key, you know, be right on tune, or, you know, it'll enhance your ability to, you know, your lung capacity and all this. I'd go, I'm not good. You know, so my gift was so challenged because I didn't know who I was in Christ. I didn't have that love working inside of me so strong, that knowledge of who I was. I was loved not for what I did, but for who I was. That I could be a confident, loving, sharing, giving human being apart from anything I did. Okay? I was really mixed up because I was very performance oriented. Has anybody been there? Okay? All right. I very performance oriented. It's like if I wasn't acknowledged for what I did, I wasn't a good person. Now, I had to get that straight in my thinking. And the only way I could get that straight in my thinking is that I had this love that started to dissolve away the fear. I guess there must have been a lot of oxytocin that was moving around there for a long time. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, Pastor Tom and Mom Wilkin can testify to this. You know what happened after I got filled with the Holy Spirit? My voice began to change. because of all the anointing that came over me and all the power of love that I felt like a different person when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I felt like a different person. I mean, I felt like, wow, you know, I can conquer the world, you know? And it didn't even matter if I sang a song or whatever. Who cares, you know? I got this power inside of me, this ability to love people and pray for them and see them delivered and, you know, what about this little gift over here? Who cares? You know, I'm going to pray for souls and cast out devils and, you know, pray for the sick and see people healed and miracles happen. You know, I mean, it was like overwhelming to me because I saw the love of God activated because at the same time I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I realized all of the gifts of love that could be operating through people. And I saw, you know, testified people like from T.L. Osborne's ministry and Norval Hayes' ministry and all these people that were getting saved all over the world. And I mean, I'm seeing this glory that I'd never seen before. And so it wasn't all about me anymore. It was like I was seeing the love of God in action and I was out of the picture. You see, when that happens, when you begin to be so consumed with both giving and receiving love from God, receiving love from God, and then giving it out to other people, you're not so, you know, your gift is there, but it's not so, it's not like the main focus. Because when it becomes the main focus, it's out of balance. It's got to be operating in love. Like I said, the gift has to operate in love. And when there's love in everything you do everything for love. You're doing everything out of the compassion of God. It's like so different. Life becomes so different then. It's just so different. And so that's why I had to learn how to separate my who from my do, from who I was in Christ, from what I did. And when I did that, I no longer became jealous of other people. And that was a change in me. I no longer became jealous of what other people did or the gifts that they had or the talents that they had or their abilities because I recognized the fact that everybody in Christ is equally important. And this does set people free, especially people that may be in school and that, you know, you so much want to excel in school and you want to do a good job in your area of learning and you realize, you know what? I may just need to, you know, relax a little bit and not worry so much about the tests that I take. Because I used to get clammed up when I'd have to take a test. And Kelly testifies. I used to get clammed up when I had to take a test because there was fear. And so when there's fear there, it was a blockage. It was those black things among the spaghetti and meatballs. And it was trying to overcome, but it wasn't working. There was a blockage. It was a gift blocker that was there. And so when we get free from fear, our gift flows freely. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? Because it's all scientific and proven as a fact. So I was no longer jealous of people that had gifts. I began to see who I was in Christ and realized that every person has a special individual identity. Now, not only are thoughts important, but emotions are important, okay? Emotions are important. And in this whole idea of thoughts and emotions, they're so clearly tied together that I'm going to write this down here. Toxic thoughts are released in bad dreams. Worry can become very depressing. It actually manifests in addictions sometimes, in depression, in pornography, addictions like this, everything, all kinds of addictions can happen because of the root tree that's in your brain called the tree of fear. It's a tree of fear that's growing in there. So we have to call upon the power of God and the power of his love to rewire us in our inner man. And sometimes, and this is the truth, do you know that when you sleep, it's actually housekeeping that's going on in your brain? It's sweeping the bad memories, and it's cleaning the bad memories up and taking them away, sometimes even dissolving them as you lay there, because health and rest actually brings healing and releases those good chemicals into your body. Okay? So not only would hugs and love and gentle touches, quality time together, all the manifestations of the love thing, those release that oxytocin, but there's also things called good, solid sleep. And if you don't get good, solid sleep, this stress thing happens in your body too, and it begins to cause you to get sick. Okay? And that's why I really highly recommend people taking days, one day off a week, where the Bible actually literally says, do nothing. Do nothing for one day a week. Why? Because that's that time where your body can be rejuvenated. Your body can be healed. You rest, and good sleep is so vital to this. Also, I will say this, that toxic things are released in your dreams. So if you have bad dreams, sometimes that's just those toxic things that you're made aware of that need to be released. And it's really good because when you have a bad dream about something, if you don't have bad dreams about anything, praise God. That's so good. But if you have bad dreams sometimes, just acknowledge it as, oh, goodness, that's a toxic thought. It's not something that's going to happen to you, or it's not some kind of, don't worry, you know, this is so bad. This is a premonition. And some people get really spooky about stuff like that. A lot of times it's just a dream. It's a bad thought. It's a toxic thought that's in your brain that needs to be released. And I will say this, much of it can be released by repentance. You say, what? Yeah, repentance. And I'm going to write that down here. Repentance starts the healing of anything that's toxic. Oh, boy. Repentance. So if you've had some bad thoughts at night, say you get a dream about you killing someone in the team. you're socking them in the face. You're slapping your mama or whatever. You know, I don't know, something terrible, you know. you probably want to repent, okay, begin to repent. You know, or if you've got some toxic dreams and you're married to some wonderful woman or wonderful man and you've got this stupid dream of some other girlfriend that you had way back when, you know, that's sometimes that's all toxic. That's all just bad thoughts. You don't need to worry about it. You just say, Lord, I repent of that. I repent of it. I get rid of it. I'm sorry. And get on with this day and have a good life. You know what I'm saying? Just get rid of it. Because it can be toxic thoughts that are at work there. It's nothing to worry about. It's something just to ask for forgiveness and move on. All right. Another area that I thought is interesting here, in number 19, toxic touch is actually found in sexual and domestic abuse. And this has been proven that sometimes when people obviously have been sexually abused and manipulated or domestically kicked or punched or whatever, that thought is a bad memory. And anytime someone actually touches them, or even in a good way in a marriage, you know, where you want to have a good, normal relationship with your husband, you've been sexually abused, that thought can come back to you. And then you can't, it's a gift blocker. It stops the gift of interpersonal relationship from happening. And that's why that needs inner healing through the environment of love and the power of the Holy Spirit at work, doing his work and bringing you good memories and replacing those bad things with the loving memories. And eventually things can be healed. So I'm going to go through in the last few minutes how to rid your brain of the toxic thoughts. Okay? First of all, laughter is really important. Laughter and rest. It's very good to rejoice. That's why the Bible says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say. Why do we want to rejoice? Why do we want to sing around the house? Even if you can't sing, start to hum a little something, you know? I mean, you don't have to sing perfectly to have a rejoicing in your heart. Is something like that, you know? It doesn't matter. Just hum a little something in your spirit. It begins to release the good things in your brain that cause healing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And begin to think about those things that are pure and lovely and of good report. And it will do that. It will do that. So I'm going to set you up here for deliverance right now, okay? I'm going to set you up. All right? These three things, you can write them down. Admit it, quit it, and beat it. Admit you got the problem. Quit it. And you'll beat it. And that's why I said the beginning of anything is repentance. The beginning of anything that you deal with, of anything that's healing, is repentance. That's why I repent a lot. I mean, why do you think in the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father, which art in heaven, it says, forgive us our sins. He taught us to pray, forgive us our sins, Lord, as we forgive those who sin against us. That's very, very important. It's vital. We forgive ourselves, ask for forgiveness from God. We forgive others. And all of that brings the release of this oxytocin, serotonin, and all these things that are released into the brain. So, number one, to rid the brain of this toxic thoughts, number one, gather what you've been thinking. Obviously, you can probably do this in less than 21 days, but it could be done in as little as 4 days. But there is a little bit of a process. And that's why sometimes people think, oh, I got my healing. You go to the miracle service. Seriously. You go to the miracle service. You get prayed for by a great prayer person. And all the pain is gone. And you really got the release there of the feelings of healing. But then so many people have said that they get healed, but then they lose their healing. And how do you lose the healing? It's because this process needs to continually be active. Activate it. Active it. You need to move it out. You need to live it out. You need to speak it out. You need to say it out. You need to continue to do this. It's not a one-shot deal all the time. In fact, a lot of the times, once you've got some deliverance in an area, you need to keep it. And keep it, and keep it, and keep it, and keep it. It's especially difficult for the first 4 days if you're dealing with a deliverance issue or you're getting free from depression, you know, but you've got to remember God can rewire this science of thought that's inside of you so you don't keep going back to the same vein that your mind wants to think. It gets in a rut, okay? And literally, it's a rut. That it's a blockage rut where those black things are among the spaghetti and meatballs and they're stopping stuff. Does that make sense? Does it make sense? Okay. All right. So now what you need to do is you need to gather what you've been thinking about. Okay. Say you've been thinking about, I'm not going to make it financially. I'm not going to make it financially. This is bad. And you keep thinking that over and over again. Fear. That's fear developing in your brain. Anything that has to do with lack or fear or, you know, any kind of, you know, poverty, sickness. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die a horrible death. All these things, people think these things and they're real and they're, you know, please believe me, they're understandable. We never negate the fact that they are real. And what I think is sometimes very valuable is if someone with compassion just comes over to you and say, I understand, and holds your hand when you're going through fear, it's like all this chemical oxytocin is released and serotonin's coming into the brain and somebody understands me and somebody loves me and cares. Wow. Right? I do. Somebody cares. And when somebody cares, there's a release of good things that go on, okay? Somebody cares. Jesus, first of all, cares. Jesus cares. He cares. He says, the Bible says, he is an understanding high priest. Wow. He understands the feelings of our infirmities. That's what the word says in Hebrews. He understands. So when you take your thoughts to God, the first thing he'll tell you is, I'm with you. I'm not against you. I'm with you. I myself have experienced every kind of thought common to man. Every temptation, the Bible says. That's why he is someone we can go to, we can always go to, we always can trust, because he's been through it. Jesus, cry out to Jesus. Jesus, I do this a lot. Jesus, I know you understand. Jesus, I know you care. Jesus, I know you're with me. Jesus, I know you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. And so when you're in this gathering time, you're gathering information, what you've been thinking about, and you take it to the Lord. Number two, you reflect on what was wrong and reflect on what was wrong to God. Why do you think in Psalms it has so many times where David would say this? I mean, it's amazing. Look at, in you, O Lord, I have taken my refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Deliver me from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. From birth I have relied upon you. My mouth is filled with your praise. Don't cast me away when I'm old. Don't forsake me when my strength is gone. It says, look at, he's crying out because he's been going through some hard stuff. Look at, my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire against me. They say God has forsaken him. So they're going to pursue me and seize me, for no one will rescue me. But God cries out, he says, but be not far from me, David said, for you are my rock. Now, what is he doing there? He's gathering all the information. He's reflecting on his problem, and he's journaling it. You know, that's really important to journal some of the things that you're going through. Write them down. Journal some of the problems that you have. Write them down, okay? Or reflect them to God. If you're better at talking, then talk them out. Talk them out to God. If you're bad at talking, write them down. You can either do one of two things, but communicate it to God. And write it down or say it out or think it. But communicate it to God. What's going wrong? And then we need to enter into this process. It's called rewiring. And Ephesians 3, turn to that. Ephesians 3, verse 20 is a very important admonition to us, because we need to remember that God is not against us, that he is for us, and that he's got good things planned for his kids. Okay? In Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says, now, I'm going to read this with some power because I want you to hear this from the authority of God Almighty. This is not me speaking anymore. This is God speaking to his church, speaking to you because he loves you. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be delivered. This is his word, okay? Look at, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, I want you to hear this. God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask him or we could ever imagine, according to his power. That's why at this part of the ministry of healing, we need to acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the same Spirit that rested upon the waters, that created the heavens and the earth, that created the stars. This is the power of God that's able to restore our brain. He's able to rewire our thinking. He's able to take us out of this fear that we live in, that we're always afraid, to what's called grace. What is grace? It's undeserved favor, and that's always what God wants to give us. Always. It takes away all fear. It takes away all fear. God wants to give us his undeserved, immeasurable, it says, immeasurable. That's beyond what we can even ask or think. That's the kind of favor that the Lord wants to give his children. And as we rewire our thinking, we realize this, that the promises of God, writing down the promises of God and reading them over and over for like even 21 days. You read those promises over for 21 days, you're not going to think the same way. It's the problem is us doing it faithfully and regularly, especially getting over those first 4 days where you just don't want to do something. That's why I want to encourage you all right now. you can do it. You know why? That frontal lobe is going to step out, and you're going to be thinking about what you're thinking about and say, wait a second, I can choose to do this. I can choose to do this. God can do this. I'm going to choose to follow the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to do this. Wow. So, wow. That's another wow. Wow. That's a big wow, because when you rewire your thinking, okay, you remember that you're pulling down strongholds, okay? You're taking those 21 days to journal or pray or write down the areas that need to be changed, and then you're rewiring it by writing down what the promises say. What the promise of God says for you. Now, for instance, if you've got a lot of fear, you know what you need to be saying for 21 days in a row, every day, as much as you can, every day, every minute you can think about it to God? God's not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me power. He's given me love. He's given me a sound mind. God's not given me a spirit of fear. I have love. I have power. I have a sound mind. God will open up the doors for me that no man can shut. God will do supernaturally things to provide me with the love that I need. God will give me the love that I need. He's there. He's there for me. He's a great high priest. He's always there to help me. And when we open that channel between us and God, it's a powerful channel, and there's nothing that can stop that love from flowing because he's so good, okay? He is so merciful. So what we do is we stand on those promises, and we rewire our thinking. And then obviously I quoted Philippians, which we read before, which are think upon those things that are good, pure, lovely, of good report. Then what you do is you act out your faith by loving people. And this is important. This is a big step. Say, for instance, you've met someone hurt you really bad. So, okay, and we're talking about team ministry here. Maybe somebody on your team or somebody that you knew, maybe it was a loved one, hurt you really badly, all right, and said something about you that you didn't like or hurt your feelings. You know, you probably want to flow into that fear mode or that memory that's in there of someone else that did that. But if you can rewire that thought, and then you can begin to pray about that promise, God's not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind, then what you do is you step out, even if you don't feel like it. You do it even sometimes a bit afraid. You step out and you go to that person. If you see them in the marketplace or you're in the shopping mall and you see so-and-so and they're over there and they were really mean to you or whatever, you just all of a sudden you just want to back away. You want to go like this. You just want to hide or something like that. You know what? Instead of doing that, you do this. You reach out, because faith works by love. You reach out even if you don't want to, and you go up and you talk to them. You ask them how they're doing. You give them a hug. You hold them. And what that does is then you're healing. You're literally not only healing them, but you're healing yourself. You're healing yourself. Because that love then begins to flow. Oxytocin is flowing. Serotonin is flowing, and that glutamate or whatever that thing was, that stuff that's sitting in there that actually brings acid into your brain is out of there. I'm serious. This is so cool. I mean, when you talk about a footnote, though, I want to add this last thing. Never do this. Never do anything without prayer and the leading of the Holy Spirit, because when you reach out to God and others, you reach out to God and others, you can cross out with others, okay? That was a typo. Reach out to God and others. When you do that, you begin to heal, your body heals itself because it's built within it. It's got the power to heal itself, but we have to do it God's way. We have to do it God's way, not the way that the world says, because the way the world says will always say something different, like kick them over the head, knock them over the feet, you know, sock them, rock them, and whatever. You know, just run away from them, hide from them. You know, that's not what God says to do. If we're having problems, you know what? In your relationship, in your relationship with your, in your marriage, you know, if I'm having a problem with my husband, you say, oh, she has a problem with her husband? Am I human? Yes, I'm human. We're all human. We all have problems sometimes, okay? If I have a problem with my husband or if he has a problem with me or something, you know, in our family and there's a little bit of a riff or something going on, you know what I do after it's all said and done? I stop and I say, okay, we talked. It's over. Now, the rest is in God's hands. We hug each other, we love each other, and we just continue to move on and love it as if it's never happened. Never happened. Because God wants us to walk in unity. The more we separate ourselves from each other, the more we kill ourselves. Because even Proverbs says this, worry only leads to harm. Worry will only lead to harm. And so why cause any more worry in our life than we've got? When there's a relationship problem, write a letter to somebody. Give a good gift to somebody. Have a kind heart of encouragement to somebody else. You know, if you're having problems, and Pastor Tom and I, when we were first married, I mean, it was hard because we were developing a relationship and we didn't know very much about the Word of God then. But I knew enough from my father, who is a Lutheran pastor, that he said, remember, your husband's the tiebreaker. So I knew enough to say, okay, aye, aye, Captain. If there was a tie in something and we were, you know, disagreement about something, I go, aye, aye, you're the big kahuna, okay? And so I let him do what he needed to do. And then I would just give everything to God. And I would submit it to God, and God would work things out later. Okay? And if I was wrong, thank God I was protected. But if he was wrong, then something would work out, and it would all flow together. Now, that's the way to live. Instead of in division, it's bring things together in unity and really see some action happen. Okay? And that's what's going to happen in our teams, too, when we bring people into unity. If there's disunity, we've got to do whatever it takes to keep the faith, to keep the unity going, because that's where the chemicals are going to flow and where we're going to get healed and where the Spirit of God moves. And hallelujah. Did you receive something tonight? Did you receive something? Okay. Well, let's stand up together and let's stand in unity and let's believe that we can actually not hurt our bodies, but aid our bodies in the healing process by doing what God says is right. By following God's word, thinking on the things that are good and pure and lovely, and to rehearse those. So in 21 days, I challenge you, if you've got an area of fear in your life where you know you've had some problems, domestic violence, sexual violence, any kind of hurt or harm, write it down and then begin to pray something to the Lord, acknowledging prayer to the Lord for 21 days and speaking the promises of God out of your mouth, faithfully doing that and worshiping him with it, that he's answering your prayers, okay? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we believe we're moving into a time of inner healing for our body, our church, and our lives, Lord, that we're going to see the inner workings of your Spirit heal our lives. And so we acknowledge you, Lord, in all things. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, Lord, trust in you. And we do. We trust. We roll our cares upon you. Seriously, right now, Lord, there are some serious problems among us, fears, concerns. Father, we roll those cares upon you. We trust in you with all of our heart, Lord. And we lean not upon our own understanding, our own ways of thinking, or that old memory pattern. We don't lean upon that. We lean upon your word, your promise, and your love. We want your love, that tree of love, to be growing in our heart, in the soil of our heart, and especially released into our mind, our thinking. We want the love to be in our mind. So we think about how much you love us, Lord, a lot. We think about that. We meditate on that. And we just rehearse it over and over and over and over in our mind, how much you love us and how much you understand and that you do care and that you've got a good plan. And we continually think about those things. And then, Lord, we ask that in this process of anywhere between 4 and 21 days as we present our cares to you, Lord, that you would rewire our thinking and that you would give us hope and that you would give us the promise that you have for our lives. Help us, Lord, to reach out in love to you during these days. Help us to reach out in love to you and to others. And if there's been a hurt, there's been a schism in our lives, that we would write a letter to an individual or just talk to them, not avoid them, because that would only cause problems for our life. And so we pray, Lord, we would be smart. Make us smart, wise. And let that brain function to the highest capacity that it can. Let it be free, Lord. Let it be free even now. Even now, the Holy Spirit is saying, even now, I'm beginning to do a work in your mind. Even now, to release the good things, the natural blessings that I've put in the body. I'm releasing those into your mind now as you come into peace with me, that I will take care of all those problems. I will. I am your helper. The Lord says, I am your helper, and I will release you into the great things you have for your future. Trust me, says the Lord. Trust me. And so we do. Let's trust him right now. Let's trust him. Let's lift up our hands before the Lord, okay? Just lift up our hands. And as we do that, I'm just seeing us obediently casting those cares to the Lord. That's the beginning thing we've got to do right now in the beginning part. Just cast the care upon the Lord, for he cares for us. Cast the fears to the Lord, the worries, the stress, the work, depression, whatever it is, give it to Jesus. And then let him begin to give you a promise. Show you in the Word as you study that promise that you can believe, and continue to think about that. And say it out of your mouth. Say it and speak it as much as you can. And believe it, because it is your word. It is your promise. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for doing that work in our lives. We love you so much. Let's just praise him right now. Can we do that? Can we thank him? That's the beginning. Just thank him for the healing work. Thank him that he's healing our lives. Lord, we praise you. We relax in your love, Lord. We relax in your love. We relax in your grace. We relax in your understanding heart. Oh, Lord, the comfort of the Holy Spirit is here. The Comforter is here. For those that have been suffering, the Lord says, for all that you've suffered, I will bring you comfort. Comfort. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for those that are so consumed with their own personal performance, Lord. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would comfort them and let them know that they're loved not for what they do, but because they're your child. They're your child and loved no matter how good or bad or naughty or sweet they are. It doesn't matter to you. You love us. You love us unconditionally, Lord, without any strings attached. In fact, sometimes, Lord, I think you love us even more when we act naughty, because you want us so much to be whole. And so I pray, Lord, that in the midst of all of our workings and our toxic attitudes and attitudes that are strange and stingy and stubborn, Lord, we know that you're reaching out in love to us and saying, I want to help. I really want to help. I want to help you. I want to love you through this all. And in the end, it's all going to work out. And so, Father, right now I believe that every person here, every person has a great gifting. And God, I thank you that those gift blockers are being released right now. They're being released off of every brain right now by the Spirit's power, Lord Jesus. That the Holy Spirit is beginning to work, Lord, in every human heart here, in every brain, in every mind, Lord, to release them from those negative thoughts and emotions that are causing them to get in a rut. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your healing and for doing that. Even now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen, Lord. Amen. Thank you for beginning that work, Lord. Thank you for beginning that work. It's good to have spaghetti and meatball brain, hey?